news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The For the People Act, HB1 in the House, S1 in the Senate, came up for a vote Tuesday in the Senate where Republicans did what they do best. They shut it down with their wall of obstruction and the filibuster. It came down as expected in a dead even 50-50 vote. Vice President Kamala Harris was presiding, so she was there to cast the tie-breaking vote, making it 51-50, ostensibly giving the win to the Democrats. But that's not what happened, because our democracy is not very democratic. With Republicans invoking the filibuster, the Democrats needed 60 votes to pass the procedural hurdle to open debate on the matter, effectively killing it on the spot before it even began, when not a single Republican senator would join with the Democrats to start debate. Amazing. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer called the Republicans' block of the bill indefensible and ridiculous.
Senate Republicans have signed their names in the ledger of history, alongside Donald Trump, the big lie, and voter suppression. Today, every single Democratic senator stood together in the fight to protect the right to vote in America. The Republican leader uses the language and the logic of the Southern senators in the 60s who defended states' rights. This vote, I'm ashamed to say, is further evidence that voter suppression has become part of the official platform of the Republican Party.
Although the thorn in the Democrat side, Joe Manchin, did ultimately vote yes with the rest of the caucus, he's still clinging to the past when the Senate was a more collegial chamber.
Your Democratic colleagues are saying this moment illustrates exactly why the filibuster needs to be changed. You disagree with that?
Some of the things we've done over the years, let's go back and look how many times they had to go bring things back and rework them until we finally got a bipartisan buy-in. And I think this is no different.
Joe Manchin is in the minority among his Senate colleagues. Senator Sherrod Brown is ready to take the next step.
Do you feel like now's the time to change the filibuster?
I've thought it for some time. Mitch McConnell is part of this effort by Republicans to suppress the vote. They know they can't win elections anymore. They lost the popular vote by millions of votes. They lose overall votes for the House and Senate. And the only way they can win is change the electorate. And Republican senators almost to the person blindly follow McConnell when he does this.
Does Biden need to get involved?
I think we need to figure out how to do this. I don't care what it takes.
So what happens next? Well, Democrats say they will take on the issues from other angles. The Senate Rules Committee plans to hold a series of hearings, including in Georgia, calling for passage of new legislation. They're also looking at pushing the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, a different bill that shores up some of the provisions of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Since that time, it's been renewed fairly regularly, usually by overwhelming majorities, until 2013. When the Supreme Court in Shelby County versus Holder basically gutted it by invalidating Section 5, which subjected states to preclearance before making any changes. The Democrats introduced the For the People Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Act coming up to fix the problems created by Shelby County. But obviously, we're moving in the wrong direction. CNN showed a clip from a USAID television news interview program from 1963. Martin Luther King Jr. was the guest. He spoke about voter suppression issues plaguing the black community back then, proving that the more things change, the more they stay the same.
I think the tragedy is that we have a Congress with a Senate that has a minority of misguided senators who will use the filibuster to keep the majority of people from even voting. They won't let the majority of senators vote. And certainly they wouldn't want the majority of people to vote because they know they do not represent the majority of the American people. In fact, they represent in their own states a very small minority. Senator Eastland of Mississippi represents a very small minority of the number of people who live in that state. And I think this is true all across the South.
Shockingly, that is Martin Luther King Jr. from July 5th, 1963. Wow. In COVID news, experts now say that the new Delta variant could cause a full-on resurgence of the coronavirus in the United States in the coming months. Are you hearing this? The most recent model finds that a highly contagious variant, even coupled with 75% of eligible Americans getting vaccinated, could result in more than 3,000 COVID-19 deaths per week at various points during the fall and winter. Obviously, a huge increase over recent summer lows. And a 75% vaccination rate isn't even a reality yet. The White House admitting that the country will likely fall short of Biden's goal of a 70% partial vaccination rate among adults by July 4th. College students and workers around the country are also starting to balk at vaccine requirements set by their schools or employers. Dr. Fauci isn't backing down.
We're almost at the 70% vaccination with one dose of adults when we reach the 4th of July. If we don't get it by then, we're going to get it within a week or so. But we don't want to stop there. That's an aspirational goal. The goal line is crushing the virus with as many vaccinations as you possibly can.
So New York City went to the polls Tuesday in its mayoral primary. For the first time ever, they're using a ranked choice voting system, which does away with the need for a runoff. Instead of casting a single vote for a single candidate, voters choose up to five candidates and rank them in order of preference. And with each round of counting, the candidate with the least number of votes is eliminated, and their ballots are distributed according to the number two pick and on down the line for subsequent counts. This means that there will be no clear winner for possibly a few weeks, though the field will narrow along the way. After the first night of counting, Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams is in the lead with 31% of number one votes, this after 90% of the in-person ballots were counted. In second place, civil rights attorney Maya Wiley, who had 22%, followed by former city sanitation chief Catherine Garcia with 20%. Andrew Yang, former Democratic presidential candidate, conceded Tuesday night after coming in fourth. Congress is leaving again, this time for 2 weeks for the 4th of July holiday, not returning until July 12th. But before they go, they still have some important work to get done. On Wednesday, the House Judiciary Committee is holding a markup on six antitrust bills aimed directly at some of the biggest names in tech: Facebook, Apple, Amazon, and Google. It's led by a bipartisan group of progressive Democrats and conservative Republicans who sit on the Judiciary Committee. This also marks the biggest antitrust effort by Congress in decades. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.